Luke chapter 16. I'd like to preach a sermon this evening on the subject of hell. Our Lord Jesus spent more time teaching, referring to this place called eternal hell than heaven itself. So it would do us well to spend a few moments to consider once again, as the new year is before us, to consider the biblical teaching concerning the place called hell that the Bible spells out very clearly. And the title of my sermon this evening is A Cry for Soul Winners from Hell. A Cry for Soul Winners from Hell. And I'd like for us to read verses 19 to 23, and then we will pray. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 23. A Cry for Soul Winners from Hell. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would give us an understanding. O God, bring to life your eternal word. Help us to see. Help us to act upon the teaching therein. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Within this passage of Scripture, we have one of the most heartfelt requests made in the Scriptures. Note there in verse 28, it reads, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." This passage records an event that took place concerning two individuals. The Bible makes reference to a rich man there in verse number 19. His name is not given, but his lifestyle is spelled out very clearly. A man clothed in purple and fine linen, a wealthy individual that fared sumptuously, lived in luxury every single day. And also the Bible in verse number 20 makes reference to a poor man. His name is given, Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. The plea in these verses was made by the rich man. He's described as a very wealthy man that lived in luxury daily. He's contrasted to a beggar by the name of Lazarus. This man was so poor that he lived off the crumbs that fell from the tables of the rich. This man was also a man that was not only poor, but he was diseased. Dogs licked his sores, no doubt causing infection. And the Bible teaches us the rich man died and the beggar died. And the first point I'd like to stress this evening, the principle of an appointment. An appointment. The inevitable, which is death. Both the rich man, the Bible teaches us, and the beggar die. And the Bible teaches us that all of us will approach this crossroad called death. It's just a matter of time. In fact, in Hebrews 9:27, the Bible teaches us, it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. So the issue is not if you will die, the issue is when you will die. And then in the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 14, the Bible gives us some insight concerning the brevity of life. And the Bible describes life as like a vapor, a mist that appears for a time and then it vanishes away. And then in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, the Bible teaches us not to boast of tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. And for all of us, whether man, woman, or child, eventually tomorrow will not come. And both the beggar and the rich man die. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you live in Sydney, Australia, or Africa, or Japan, or Thailand, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So the point I want to begin by stressing this evening is that all will die. Whether rich or poor, everybody will have an appointment with death itself. And then in verses 22 and 23, the Bible talks about two places, two destinations. Is physical death the end? Well, according to the scriptures, the answer to that is no. We die physically, but all of us have a spiritual dimension. We have an eternal spirit. And if one was to believe the teachings of the scriptures, one needs to understand that man is body, soul, and spirit. We have a physical body that will break down and will physically die. And the Bible teaches us we have a soul. We have a mind, will, and emotions. We have personality. And the Bible teaches us that we also have an eternal spirit. So both the rich man and the beggar had an eternal spirit. But the Bible teaches us they went in two different directions. Lazarus went to a place that is referred to as Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort, a temporary place where all of the Old Testament saints went before the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I understand my Bible correctly, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And when the Lord Jesus died, the Bible teaches he descended before he ascended up to glory. So before the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, people went to a place called Abraham's bosom or paradise. And when Jesus Christ descended, he collected the saints of old, the Old Testament saints, and now for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's our hope. So heaven is our hope for you and I today, for those of us that know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, people went to this place called Abraham's bosom, where all of the Old Testament saints before the ascension directly to heaven for you and I that are part of the New Testament economy. So there is Abraham's bosom, and the Bible teaches us that the beggar died and went to this place of comfort. But there's a contrast given here to this place called hell, where the rich man went. And the Bible teaches us the rich man also died at the end of verse 22. And the Bible teaches us, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now, how does the Bible describe this place called hell? The Bible doesn't teach that it is a figment of somebody's imagination. Some people would say, well, we are in hell right now on planet Earth. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Is there such a place? Well, according to the Bible, there is a place called hell. And the Bible describes this place. And the Lord Jesus, in great detail, reveals to you and I some of the characteristics of this place called hell. And the Bible teaches us that the beggar died and he was found in comfort. But the rich man died, and the Bible teaches us he lifted up his eyes, he was conscious, he was still alive in spirit, his eternal spirit was still active, and the Bible teaches us, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And I'd like for us to note the contrast between the two. Note there in verse number 25, in summary, the Bible teaches us at the end of verse 25, now he is comforted, but thou art tormented. So the Bible gives us a contrast between a place of comfort, a place called heaven for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But the Bible also talks about a place called hell, a place of torment. Let's take a few moments and note from this passage of Scripture the details concerning this place called hell. The Bible teaches us in verse number 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Hell is a place of everlasting pain and suffering, the Bible teaches. For a moment, please, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's note God's description of this place called hell. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The Bible reads, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Note verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power. Note the wording carefully in verse 8. In flaming fire. In flaming fire for who? For those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the rich man. He was so self-sufficient he had no time for God. Well, he eventually died, and the Bible teaches us that he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And the Bible here describes hell as a place of flaming fire. And in verse 9, it describes hell as a place of everlasting destruction. But note the next little phrase, from the presence of the Lord. How tragic. Hell is a place that is absent of God's presence. So hell is a place of everlasting pain and suffering. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 25, please, Matthew chapter 25, that God made hell created hell for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. This place of everlasting fire, note there at the end of verse 41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, note, prepared for the devil and his angels. My friend, this evening, God did not prepare hell for you and I. God created hell for the devil and his angels. But for those that will not obey the gospel of Christ, they will become a part of hell, not because of God's choosing, because of their own personal decision to obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are some people that charge God as being unjust. My friend, God is just. God is loving. That's why he sent Jesus Christ into the world to save sinners. And the great apostle Paul was prepared to admit, of whom I am chief. And when you and I are prepared to admit our sinful state before a holy God, and we're prepared to repent of that sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we can be saved from sin, death, and hell. God has provided heaven for you and I, and he's done so by the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, I am the truth,
I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except via me. Oh, my friend, God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. And if a person rejects the gospel, they die without Christ. And it's all because they've chosen to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God has provided a way to heaven. And we as God's people, we that know the Lord Jesus Christ, must be mindful that it is not God's will that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And therefore we need to go into the highways and byways and warn people concerning this place called hellfire, place of eternal judgment for those outside of the family of God. My friend, hell meets the justice of God by providing judgment for those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven demonstrates the love of God, available for all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Oh, my friend, the Bible teaches us that hell is a real place. And all those that will reject Christ for whatever reason will lift up their eyes like the rich man of old in hell being in torments. The rich man didn't want his family to go to hell. Note there in Luke chapter 16 once again, please. In Luke chapter 16. Note then verse 27, once again, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. See, the rich man died, and the Bible teaches us he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he cried out to Abraham. Father Abraham said, Abraham, please send somebody back to tell my five brothers that I love, because I don't want them to come to this horrid place of torment. Oh, Lazarus was in comfort, but the rich man, the Bible teaches, was in torments. What sort of torment? We've noted the Bible teaches hell as a place of everlasting fire. Apart from the presence of God. Well, note here within this passage of Scripture some of the torments, plural, that are spelled out within this passage of Scripture. See, it's by no coincidence that in verse 23 it reads, being in torments. What sort of torments await those that will die and go to hell? Or note then verse 24, that he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. He cried. One of the torments of hell will be that people will cry out for help, but yet to no avail. To call out for help continually, to no avail. Can you imagine being in such a state, to constantly cry out? And I believe to this very day, this rich man continues to cry out. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Beloved, hell is a place of hopelessness, where nobody is listening. There's nobody that can help, even if they wanted to. It's a place of crying out, yet no help in sight. But also the Bible teaches us in verse number 24, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, he cried out to be in a place of no hope. That's how the Bible describes hell. But also note here, it's also a place of thirst, a place of no relief. You'll be thirsty for all of eternity. no satisfaction. Note then verse 24 that the rich man cried out and said, "Please, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger." This is how desperate he is. "That he may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue." A place of dissatisfaction. A place of thirst. There is no satisfaction in hell. It is a place of crying out. Crying out of hopelessness. It's also a place of dissatisfaction. A place of no relief. A place where you will not have your thirst quenched. But the Lord Jesus said, "If you drink of the water of this well, you will thirst again. But the water that I offer you, you will never thirst again if you drink thereof." And it's that water of life that you and I, as the people of God, are to share with others, lest they also die and go to this place called hell where the rich man was. And all he wanted in his desperation, he said, "Please, just a drop of water, just a little drop, that'll do, that'll satisfy me." But not even a drop of water was available for this rich man in hell. Note the confession there in verse 24. The reality. He said, "I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented." My friend, hell is a place of pain. A place of continual pain. Tormented. A place of tears. A place of great pain. Note with me, please, in Luke chapter 13 for a moment. Just go back a few chapters. Luke chapter 13. Verse 27 and 28, it reads, But he shall say, "I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye that works, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out." So note the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible describes hell as a place of continual pain. Or there'll be weeping, wailing. The word weeping here means to wail. It has the idea of a cry of pain that is beyond just a cry. It's that wailing that is disturbing. I don't know if you've ever heard somebody wail. It's a cry from the innermost part of that person, and it's a disturbing. It's a disturbing thing to hear somebody wail, and yet hell will be full of people that will be wailing. And the Bible teaches us also gnashing of teeth, clenching of teeth, because they're in so much pain. And this rich man said, "I am tormented. I'm being tormented in this flame. Please, will you send somebody to warn my brethren, lest they also come to this place of torment?" Oh, hell is a place of no hope. It's a hopeless place. It's a place of dissatisfaction. There is no relief. There is no satisfaction. It's a place of pain. Continual pain. It's a place of fire. We've stressed that already, I think. Hell, fire, the Bible teaches us. Note there in verse 24 once again of Luke chapter 16. The rich man said, "For I am tormented in this flame." In this flame. What sort of a flame? Well, go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9, verse number 43. What sort of a flame? What sort of fire is in hell. Note here in verse number 43, please. It reads, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." So what type of fire prevails in hell? It is a everlasting fire. A fire that shall never be quenched. It will never go out. Look at verse number 44. "Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, it will continue to burn day in, day out, for all of eternity. And the rich man said, I am tormented in this flame," this eternal flame, of where there is no relief. There is no subsiding. It is a continual fire. Note then verse 48 once again. "Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Just as a worm will always feed itself, so likewise the fires of hell will never die down. Mark chapter 13, verse 50. Once again, Mark chapter 13, verse 50. Pardon me, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 50. Let's read verse 49 as well. "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." My friend, this is the hell of the Bible. And the Bible teaches us that God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. And it's our mandate from God, for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, lest people die without Christ and go likewise to this place called hellfire. A place of crying, a place of thirst, a place of torment, continual pain, a place of fire. But also the Bible describes this place called hell as a place of remembrance. A place of remembrance. Note there in Luke chapter 16, please, once again. A place of remembrance. Note there in verse 25 it reads, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, but thou art tormented." A place of remembrance. Opportunities that should have been taken. To exist with physical pain and with the emotional pain of not making right choices. Oh, what a horrid existence. And for those that reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will remember. They will be reminded of those missed opportunities. Because the Bible teaches us one of the torments of hell will be people will be haunted for all of eternity by their missed opportunities. There'll be no atheists in hell. All will believe, but it will be too late. So my friend this evening, don't miss the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior tonight. If you are here without Jesus Christ, please don't miss the opportunity to receive Him personally as your personal Savior tonight, that you might be saved from sin, death, and
another opportunity to receive God's gift of eternal life. A place of remembrance. To be mindful of those missed opportunities. A place of fire. A place of continual pain. A place of thirst and dissatisfaction. A place of crying out without hope. And last but not least, hell is a place of no escape. Of no escape. There's no way out. Note there in verse 26, it reads in Luke chapter 16, verse 26, "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Hell is a place of no escape. No relief, no way out. No, my friend, the Bible doesn't teach purgatory. The Bible doesn't teach a place of limbo existence. The Bible teaches heaven. The Bible teaches hell. There is no in-between. And the rich man realized that. He realized that. There is no escape. He accepted the fact. There is no escape. There is no way out. But may I submit to you, there is a way out. The way out is on this side of eternity. And my friend, if you are without Jesus Christ as Savior tonight, or if you doubt whether you know the Lord Jesus as Savior, now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Because if you die without Christ, there is no escape. The Bible doesn't teach purgatory. The Bible doesn't teach limbo. The Bible teaches there is a heaven, there is a hell, and God created hell for the devil and his angels, but God has provided a way into heaven via His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is forever, just like heaven is forever. If heaven is eternal, then hell must be eternal. Note there in Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 46. The Bible reads, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous," those that have become righteous by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, "but the righteous into life eternal." Everlasting punishment is contrasted to life eternal. My friend, the word everlasting and the word eternal are the same base word. They mean exactly the same thing. Everlasting life, everlasting destruction. The same word. Hell is forever, just like heaven is forever. That rich man is still in hell today. Some 2,000 years have passed, but he's still in hell today. The Bible makes reference to hell being a place of darkness. Now, how can hell be a place of darkness and a place of fire as well? Could it be that blindness, because of the fire, people will be blind in hell? Imagine being without sight and yet being in torment, being in pain. The Bible teaches us it's forever. To be apart from God's presence, to be in this place called hellfire, is forever. Note then Revelation chapter 20, please, verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10.
Just for a moment, look at verse number 14 of that same chapter. It reads, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The Bible teaches us people without Christ will go to a place called hell. But at the beginning of the end, when God brings time as we know it today to a conclusion, there will be a place called the lake of fire. And everybody from hell will be transferred into the lake of fire, where the devil will be already, and the false prophet himself, and the Antichrist are. And the Bible teaches us this place there in Revelation chapter 20. Note then verse 10. In verse number 10, it reads, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." They've been there for 1,000 years. "And shall be tormented," note, "day and night, forever and ever." Eternal existence in judgment apart from the presence of God. Oh, my friend, this is the teaching of the Word of God. Hell is a real place. Oh, if God would just for a split second open the cap of hell and just let us just see just for a second what hell is really like. Oh, maybe it'll motivate us. But God has not chosen to do so. He's spelled it out in the Bible. Hell is a place of judgment. Hell is a place of no hope. Hell is a place of no satisfaction. Hell is a place of pain and fire and memory. No escape forever and ever and ever from the presence of God. For all those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this rich man, being in such a state, at least, and he's to be commended for it, at least he had the fortitude to consider his 5 brothers. To consider his 5 brothers. Boy, that would have taken some effort. To consider his 5 brothers. And note there in Luke chapter 16 once again. Note the wording here. Once again. In verse 27, in verse 28. "And he said, I pray thee, I plead with thee, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him, send somebody to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." "Please, Abraham," said the rich man, "please will you send Lazarus to warn my brethren concerning this place of judgment." But note Abraham's response in verse 29 to 31. "And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." In other words, they have the teachings of the Word of God. They have the Word of God. Moses and the prophets, in reference to the Old Testament scriptures, they have the Word of God. "Let them hear them." My friend, this evening, please listen to the Word of God. Please listen to the Word of God. The Word of God is very graphic in its description of this place called hell. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God. Let them heed to the Word of God. And he said in verse 30, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." Oh, this rich man was pleading with Abraham. He said, no, but if somebody came alive from the dead, They would believe.
Oh, then Abraham said unto him in verse 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And how true it is. Oh, this rich man was concerned about his loved ones. He had five brethren that he loved, he was concerned about. Didn't want them to go to hell. My friend, do you want your loved ones to go to hell? Do you want others to go to hell? I trust the answer to that is no. Oh, no, Pastor. Well, let me ask you this evening, what are you doing about it? What are we doing about it? The rich man pleaded for someone to testify to his loved ones. And could there be there are people out there that are pleading for somebody to testify to their loved ones? And their loved ones are in your presence. You work with them. They're your neighbors. The rich man pleaded for someone to go back and preach the gospel to those whom he loved. And my friend, this evening, the Bible teaches that hell is a real place. Do you hear the cry from hell this evening? The reality of hell should not only motivate us to live a holy life, but it should motivate us to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. The cry to be a soul winner from the heart of hell itself. He that winneth souls is wise. Oh yes, he is wise. Why? Because he is helping to deliver people from sin, death, and hell. Oh my friend, the rich man is still in hell, suffering right now, crying out for help. It's been some 2,000 years. How much longer? Pastor, how much longer? Well, my Bible teaches forever. Forever. That's pretty difficult to swallow, isn't it? But that's what the Bible teaches. May God help us to get serious about witnessing in 2016. So that's why the first term of our life stage classes, we're going to talk about soul winning. So we want to train you that you'll teach others also. Want to help you, encourage you. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And people you know, people I know without Christ, they'll die and go to hell without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's get busy. Let's get busy telling others about a wonderful Savior that has come to save man from sin, death, and hell. And glory be to God for that. Soul winning is you and I as beggars telling others where to find bread. I found bread at the age of 14. The bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ as Savior this evening, I'd like to encourage you to be a witness for Him. And may God open up our eyes to stand back. And I challenge you this evening, I challenge you this week to just read through this passage again. And just ask the blessed Holy Ghost to just open up the Scriptures and say, God, help me to see hell as hell is. And may that motivate us. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. If you die and go to hell, my friend, you have nobody to blame but yourself. And if you're here without Jesus Christ as Savior, if you're not sure whether you are part of the family of God, I challenge you this evening, settle that issue once and for all. For those of us that are Christians, we say we believe in hell, but for most of us, our actions are not very convincing. May God help us this evening. Let's bow for prayer.